Okay, this morning is sharing Sunday, so looking forward to that. Is Charlotte here? No? Okay, well, we will start with Nancy. Surprise. Do you want up here or do you want down there? Okay.
Good morning. I'm going to start by confessing that I have not written this down nearly as soon early as I should have, and so I'm just going to trust that the thoughts that come out are the ones that the Lord needs you to hear or wants you to hear or me to say. So in the last little while, I've been thinking about, why do I go to church? Not only why do I go to this church, but why go to church at all? What do we do at church? We sing. I can sing with Spotify in the car. And in fact, the variety of worship music that I can find in my car is actually greater than the ones I find in church. We worship. I can worship anywhere. In fact, God has created such a wonderful world that the rocks and the trees cry out to the glory of God. And in sometimes, it's easier to worship in nature than in a building. We learn. Again, I can listen. There are so many sermons that we can listen to from so many different Christian churches. And sometimes when I turn one on, it is the exact thing that I need to hear in addition to what I've learned on Sunday morning. And we pray. I don't need to be at church to pray. And in fact, recently I've started praying the words of the Bible. So we have such a rich source of God's inspiration. So why church? And why the same church? I have lots of places that I could worship. I could worship with a different family member every week for at least 4, if not 6 weeks, and we could just keep going around. So I started to do some research because that's where I go when I have a question. And there is no doubt that God made people to be social and that meeting together with fellow Christians is important. But does it have to be the same ones? And do we need to declare an identity with that people? So I found in Acts, there are different passages that imply that the local church was a defined number of people. Not a limited number, but when the leaders wanted to gather the church, they knew who they were. They knew who to call together. They knew who their disciples were. And in 1 Corinthians, it tells us that the members of the church have different responsibilities and that they work together to perform the work that God intended for them. And if you are going to work together with people, you kind of need to be with them regularly. Ephesians 4 says the church was established so that the body of Christ may be built up and that we may become mature. So as Christians, we worship God. We spread the news of Christ. Those are responsibilities for me as a Christian. I'm still working on the second one. And we can do them alone. We can worship without the congregation. We can tell others without the congregation. But as a church, we build each other up. We help each other to grow in faith. And for that, I need a community that knows me and that loves me. And really, I thank God that I have this church that knows me and still loves me. Because I turn to my church when I can rejoice. When I rejoice in the birth of a child. When I thank God that my mom is thriving in her assisted living facility. When I've seen a beautiful rainbow and I'm reminded of the glory of God. But also, when I need support, when I need to know that I have a community of Christians praying. Praying for Bria, who's now in the nursery. Praying for Bria to come out of NICU. When I don't know, well, I didn't expect this. When I didn't know, don't know how to juggle the crises that happen all at the same time. When I doubt my effectiveness as a Christian witness, I come to my church when I see how God moves in people, when I see how you are doing. And so not just to support me, I get to see, be a part of all of your lives. And I thank so God much that in good and bad, in rejoicing and in hard times, that we have the opportunity to get to know each other, to learn from each other, to grow together, and to work together for what God has put us in this community to do. So our church, my church, isn't a Sunday morning service. My church is a place to help, to be helped, to grow, and to see other grow. And yeah, thank you for being my church.
Thank you, Nancy. Just before you come up, John, I'm just going to pray for Nancy a second. God, thank you for Nancy, for what she was able to share this morning. I thank you for your body, that we can come together and support one another and love each other, for the way you have designed us to be in community. And I pray you'd help us to learn how to do that better as well, and help us to grow in our ability to love and care for each other. And I pray that you would bless Nancy for the things that she has shared this morning. In your name, amen.
Good morning. I titled my testimony Sin. Not a popular topic to talk about, let alone admit to it. This whole world was and is plunged into chaos by sin. Maybe chaos is too strong a word, but we do live in a fallen world. How do we deal with sin? Well, firstly, we have to tell ourselves we don't want to sin. That goes for addictions too. And we have to tell ourselves that constantly too, and just tell ourselves that out of the blue constantly too, because we can get this desire to sin straight out of the blue. So we have to be constantly on guard against that. Even a stray touch to our private parts can trigger us to fall into sin. So we have to reinforce with our mind and our thoughts not to do it, to fall for it. The Bible says we are to pray without ceasing. Well, to constantly remind us not to sin is sort of praying. And give thanks to Jesus often too, that you can keep away from sinning, from falling into your addictions. That helps to keep the desires at bay. I contend that all our afflictions are caused by our sins. The more we sin, the more afflictions we have. And I want to read from Galatians 5, verse 22, 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And some more. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 10. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This passage says that sin is the devil. He is another name for sin, and that he causes all the sin. But James has another point to it. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. My argument is this, that if we sin, it's our responsibility and we should be accountable for it. But if the devil causes us to sin, we should be pardoned for that. But however, if you sin, it's all your fault. You have to take credit for it or whatever. So we constantly have to tell ourselves not to sin, not to fall for our addictions. Now, a story about a little deviation about sin found in the Gospel of John. John chapter 9, 1-5. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I believe this happened to teach us that this was to glorify Christ, and what greater glory there will be when Christ will bring about the new heaven and the new earth. It was a teaching moment for us of what we are to expect for our future. This is my testimony, that I fell into sin with an addiction of a sexual nature, and they say there is no cure for it, but it can be arrested. Like I said, I have to remind myself constantly of it, not to do it. And if I have success, give Jesus the credit and thanks for it. And by the way, the so-called experts only treat the symptoms, or at best, that's all they try to treat, and not the cause. The cause is the addictions we are struggling with. That is what needs to be treated. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing, John. I'm just going to pray for John as well. Jesus, thank you for the work that you're doing in John's life. I thank you that you did break the power of sin in our life. I thank you that we can walk in the victory that you have purchased for us, and I pray that you would teach each of us how to do that, how to say no to our temptations, and how to pursue righteousness and pursue a godly life. I thank you that your Spirit is working within us to assist us and help us, and I thank you that no temptation has overcome us, which we cannot withstand, and so I pray that you would help us to stand in your truth, stand in your Spirit, and stand in the death of Christ, that we no longer have to give in to temptation. Thank you for this and the work that you do in our lives, and I pray that you would continue your work in John's life as well. In your name, amen. Next, we're going to have Darlene. Darlene, do you want on the stage or not on the stage?
I don't have anything prepared. I would just like to say I love Dave the pastor. He's very good. The day he had a spider on his face, I was trying so hard not to laugh. Really hard. Anyway, when I was a child in the 70s, my mom sent my siblings and I to Sunday school. So Jesus was in my life all this time. And there's evil out there, and he protects me. Sorry, I feel like laughing. It's great that I can come here every Sunday. I've been here for a few weeks already, I think a few months. The church I used to go to is way in central Winnipeg, and it's too far. It's too far to go. And I need to tell you a story about when I was in church years ago, that the Lord works in my life. I was so sad and angry and bitter. I was sitting in the pew and I was thinking, Lord, I need your help. Take this darkness out of me and so I can be happy again. And I was praying and praying, and then when I opened my eyes, there was a darkness leaving my body. And I was so amazed, and it works. Christ works. And I'm so happy when I concentrate on Jesus. He helps me. And I hope I can keep coming to church every Sunday. I feel at home here. And Dave goes out of his busy schedule to help his flock. His flock. Yeah. I appreciate it. I just live down the street, so it really helps that I can just come here. Thank you so much.
Darlene. I'm just going to pray for Darlene a second as well. Father God, thank you for Darlene. Thank you for the work that you're doing in her life. That you shine your light into darkness, and pray that you'd continue to draw her to you. And I thank you that she has come here and is able to be part of this body, and I pray that you would help us to love her well and incorporate her well into the church here. I thank you for Dave and the care that he has for each of us. And I pray that you would bless him for that care and help him to have rest on his trip. I thank you again for Darlene and for her willingness to come up here and share some of the joy that you have given her. And I pray that you'd continue to bless her as she seeks you here. In your name, amen. Steve.
Well, I've been coming here quite a long time, and I started out here many years ago when Dave Friesen was my pastor that I met, and he prayed for me and he helped me out, and I've always loved the Lord with my heart, my soul, and my mind, and that usually every morning I'm off to the Grace Hospital at around 7:30 to do my devotional reading, and I read, and it helps me reflect for the day to come, and that I am an artist, and the Lord has let me paint for many years, and I love giving them away and selling them and working on them. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the Lord in my life, and thank you so much for our time with God, and I believe I'm eternally grateful for Jesus being in my life and helping me every day. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. Father God, I thank you for Steve. Thank you that he as well has found this congregation and has been able to be here learning from your word for a while. I thank you for the ability that you've given him to produce art and his love of that, and that he can use that to honor you as well. And I pray you'd continue to bless him as he seeks you and he seeks to use his giftings to honor and glorify you. Thank you. Thank you that he's here, and thank you that we get to be part of the body of Christ together. In your name, amen. All right, our last one is Cassandra.
Good morning. Since becoming a Christian almost a decade ago, God has been performing many miracles in my life. I have spoken previously about how he healed me of my depression and suicidal tendencies. Today I want to give glory to God for another incredible miracle. God has healed me of dissociative identity disorder. This condition used to be known as multiple personality disorder. In simple terms, the disorder usually results from trauma. It has had a very disruptive impact on me for most of my life. Some of the ways in which it manifested itself in my life were as follows. I had a couple dozen different parts living in my head. I also had a very developed internal world where I spent the majority of my time. These people and this world felt safer than the physical world in which my body dwelt. Not being truly present to myself and the world around me meant that I missed out on much of my life. There used to be long periods of my life where I had no memory of events that took place. However, now God is starting to fill in these areas using a prayer technique known as Emmanuel Prayer. In Emmanuel Prayer, I go back to difficult memories in my life with Jesus, and he shows me where he was during the particular moment we are exploring. Having these encounters with Jesus is filling a lot of the holes in my memory. In so doing, I am learning much more about both myself and God. The more I learn, the more I trust God and feel safe in his presence. The safer I feel, the less I need to escape reality. God is helping me learn to live in the present moment with him, and it is beautiful. Even when we are traveling through a dark valley, it is beautiful because his presence, truth, light, and love lead the way, and I am never alone. It is easier to trust him and to be confident of my place in his family. I look forward to continuing the journey with God and seeing what he has in store as our relationship grows and deepens. I hope too, as the process continues, I will become more and more like Jesus. In closing, I am reminded of 2 Timothy 1:7, which in the Amplified says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear. He has given us a spirit of power and love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control." For most of my Christian life, I wanted to be able to claim this promise, but could not. However, after many years of therapy and spiritual direction, this promise has come to pass. I am also reminded of Isaiah 61:3, which says, "To grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and that he may be glorified." He has definitely given me beauty for ashes, and I just want to give him all the glory. Thank you.
Thanks, Cassandra. I'm just going to pray for Cassandra as well. God, thank you for Cassandra. Thank you for the healing that she's had in her life. I thank you that you are Emmanuel, that you are God with us, that you are with us even in hard times and in hurt and in confusion and difficulty. I thank you that you've been very present with Cassandra, and I pray that you'd continue to allow her to experience that as she pursues you, that she would be able to, yeah, just enjoy a closeness with you, Lord. I thank you that you are a safe place, and that you are someone who desires us to come to you and to be with you. And yeah, I pray you'd continue to bless Cassandra as she seeks you, and as she seeks to be a whole person, and to, yeah, I pray that you would work in her life and let her be an encouragement to those around her. And I thank you for the light that she is. In your name, amen.